mein Prestar Bhutale. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatyadesh Tarne. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas. Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai. So, Hare Krishna devotees, and welcome to our third session on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Very exciting, amazing book. Last two nights we've been just going through the background, where it came from, how it came to be, that sort of idea. And we continue like that, at least initially, this evening. But we'll see how it goes. It's always hard to say how far we will get when we're doing these seminars, how far we'll get every day. But there's some more history. There's some more history for us to go through. And then there's then the story itself actually begins of the quest. How can we understand, how can we find out who is the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord? All right, so without further ado, let's get into it for this evening. First of all, we go into what we call the second section in the first chapter of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And the second section, it's from verse 12 to verse 23. And we have called it Setting the Scene. Some more background, some more setting the scene. So it's from verse 12 to verse 23, but it is divided into two subsections. First is from verse 12 to verse 17. From verse 12 to verse 17. And what's discussed there is how Janmajaya, the son of Maharaj Parikshit, who was ruling the world at that time after the departure of Maharaj Parikshit. So Janmajaya, we've already mentioned actually, but here the verses themselves are going to state these things, how Janmajaya heard Mahabharat from Jaimini, Rishi, and the version, Jaimini's version of Mahabharat was so inspiring and interesting that Maharaj Janmajaya asked him, "Well, is there more? Can I hear more? Please tell me more. It's just so wonderful." And then, therefore, Jaimini explained to Maharaj Janmajaya how Parikshit, how Uttara approached Maharaj Parikshit, or actually it really seems to be how Parikshit Maharaj approached Uttara after he had heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev and before the snake bird came and bit him and killed him. So this is the first subsection then from verse 12 to verse 17. And first thing to do is just to read the verses. And I'll just read the translations. May the Vaishnavs kindly hear this confidential scripture, Sri Bhagavatamrita. Jaimini Rishi spoke it to King Janamajaya in the enthusiasm of pure love. And verse 13, after Janamajaya, the son of Parikshit, heard the wonderful Mahabharata recited by the great sage Jaimini, Janamajaya was still eager to hear more. And so he inquired about the supplement to that epic. Yeah, what sort of flowed on afterwards, following in the footsteps of Mahabharata. And verse 14, Sri Janamajaya said, O Brahman, by hearing the Mahabharata from Vaishampayana, I never obtained the same relish I have now obtained by hearing from you. Please complete this recitation with perfect sweetness. Okay. There's a number of interesting points, but we'll, first of all, we're just reading the verses, then we'll go back over them and bring out some of these interesting points. 15, 16, and 17 are grouped together. Sri Jaimini said, by hearing the instructions of Shukadev Goswami, Sriman Parikshit was relieved of all fear. All his ambitions satisfied, he was absorbed in pure love for Sri Krishna. Now, as the time came near for the king to ascend to the destination he desired, his mother, Virata's daughter, a surrendered devotee of Krishna, approached him in great distress while he was alone. After Parikshit had consoled and pleased her by his greetings, she asked of him as follows, immersed in love for her son. So she asked of him as follows. Yes. Anyway, if we finish making some comments on these verses, then we'll find out how she asked him, what she asked him, about what she asked him. But for the time being, so let's go back over these verses again. And make some comments. So verse 12, I'll read it again. May the Vaishnavs kindly hear this confidential scripture, Sri Bhagavatamrita. Jaimini Rishi spoke it to King Janamajaya in the enthusiasm of pure love. All right, so we can have a class just on this verse easily. But let's just bring out a few important kind of prominent points from this verse. So the first thing is that this is not some fiction novel, something made up by someone's fertile imagination. Sometimes this term is used, and Prabhupada used it also, in referring to people who would write novels, books about just imaginary happenings that they just dreamed up in their own heads. Fertile imagination. So many things grow out of it. Yeah, so these novelists, they're like that. They create these worlds and these people and relationships and activities and, emotions and all these things. And it's all imagination. It's just like hallucination. Yeah, it never happened. It's not real. But because their imaginations are very fertile and so many things come out, just like certain ground, if it's been, if you put a whole lot of cow dung on some ground and then you water it nicely and put more cow dung and water it nicely and then plant some things, they will grow because the ground's very fertile. Whereas the ground, some other ground not far away, may not be so fertile and you struggle to get anything to grow. So fiction means fertile imagination, to dream up these hallucinations and present them as if they're real. And people get drawn into it as if it's real. I remember when I was young, I think I was around 12 or I forget really, but something like that, 12, 13, 14 maybe teenage. And my father took me to see the movie of Romeo and Juliet of Shakespeare. And, of course, it was very cleverly done. And, it's this heavy romance, super heavy romance, in which, at the end, Romeo and Juliet, they commit suicide. And that's the end. Wow, so heavy. So we sat through the movie. And when we came out at the end, my father was crying. Maybe I was close to it. I don't know about that. But my father, he was crying because it had moved him so much because of this cleverly created romantic story. But it's all hallucination. Just Mr. Shakespeare, so imaginative, he dreamt it up. But this is not like that. This is not like that. This is real history. Not just real history. This is scripture. This is Shastra. So it's very real. And the personalities in the narrations are real. The relationships, the interactions, it's all real. It's all very real. And not only is it real, but because it's all to do with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when you read it or hear it, you are there in it. It's not just like some nice story. You are actually present in the event. Rahul, please, can you just close the curtains? All right, so let's get into it. Let's really get into it. So this is not fiction. And Sanatana Goswami, in his own commentary here, Sanatana Goswami, it's not in the text here, but in his commentary, Sanatana Goswami makes the point that only Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord, should read this book, because others will misunderstand it, inevitably. And he says like that, out of compassion for those non-devotees, out of compassion for them, he says that only devotees should read this book, others should not. It's similar. Jiva Goswami says the same thing in the beginning of Tattvasandarbha, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sort of in the middle somewhere. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes the same book, same point, that this is not for the pig-like non-devotees. It is for the Vaishnavas. So like we said, Sanatana Goswami and Jiva, Krishnadas Kaviraj, they're saying these things not to be aggressive, not to be, sort of unpleasant or like sectarian, like not to be like a separatist or, you know, that we are better than you, that sort of idea. But it's out of compassion that he says that. Because if these unqualified non-devotees, if they read a book like this, oh my gosh, then they will make offenses. Because they will read it, and they won't have respect for it. They won't believe it. And they won't have a taste for it. They have no taste to start off. And because of their negative consciousness, they will not be able to get a taste for it. And in this way, they'll disbelieve and they will react offensively. That what is this? Just like, there's a little example from the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, that he was at a university at some gathering of like professors of Indology, of Indian history and Indian scripture, Indian religion, and one professor of Bhagavad Gita, of Srimad Bhagavata and other Vedic scriptures, but he was just a materialistic guy. He said to Prabhupada in a sort of knowing way, by that I mean that, well, what he said was, oh, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not a book for brahmacharis, is it? And of course, he's being sort of sarcastic or trying to be funny, that because in Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures, there are loving relationships described, which these people take to just be sexual male-female types of relationships. So that man, knowing what a brahmachari is or is meant to be, he thought, well, brahmacharis are celibate, therefore they shouldn't read something which is sexual, men and women, you know, with bodily contact and all those sorts of things you all know only too well. His idea was, if a brahmachari reads it, he's going to get disturbed and won't be able to maintain his celibacy. But Srila Prabhupada replied, actually, only brahmacharis should read it, because the so-called sexual relationships, they're actually relationships of pure devotion and pure love, untinged by anything like lust. So like this, if these types of people read these books like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then inevitably, unavoidably, they will not understand, think that it's, you know, it's something strange, and in this way think offensively about the book, and that will be bad for them. So when Sanatana Goswami says that this book is really only for the devotees, he's not trying to be sort of exclusivist. He's just trying to protect the foolish people so they won't commit offenses. So we read that in this first, not verse, but verse 12, he begins by saying, May the Vaishnavs kindly hear this confidential scripture, Sri Bhagavatamrita. Jaimini Rishi spoke it to King Janmajaya in the enthusiasm of pure love. So he says, may the Vaishnavs kindly hear. He's addressing the devotees in a very respectful way. Very respectful. May they kindly hear, please. Very respectfully inviting them. Because he knows the Vaishnavs and he loves the Vaishnavs. And he knows how wonderful the Vaishnavs are. And he has tremendous respect for the Vaishnavs. And therefore, he uses this formal type of language. You could say, considering himself unworthy to approach them. This is the mood of the Vaishnavas. So then, here's an interesting little point. Now, we may not have heard much about Jaimini Rishi. Who is this Jaimini Rishi? He's not some person who we're really familiar with, like Shukadev Goswami, who spoke the Bhagavatam, like Maharaj Parikshit, who heard the Bhagavatam, like Arjuna, who heard Bhagavad Gita. Who is this Jaimini? Well, actually, he is a very important person. Interesting little point. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 22, Lord Krishna sort of confirms the reputation of Jaimini as a great devotee when he says, Vedanam Samavedosmi. Among the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Yeah, in other words, amongst Vedic literatures, Samaveda is very special, very wonderful. At least, out of the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, if you start talking about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a different story. But amongst the four Vedas, Samaveda is particularly prominent and wonderful. And devotees, Samaveda is spoken by Jaimini Rishi. He is not exactly author, but the speaker of Samaveda. And he speaks it so nicely, very, very poetic and very sweet. So, yeah, So he, under the direction of Vyasadeva, he took up the study of Samaveda and then presented it. So this indicates that Vyasadeva thought that he's a highly qualified person, very highly qualified. So he's special. He's an expert on the Samaveda, and the Samaveda to a fairly significant degree, it's dealing with devotional service. It's dealing with devotional service. So now there's another interesting, really, really interesting point here. This is interesting. That, as we've mentioned, and as we've mentioned, Jaimini Rishi has been reciting Mahabharat to Maharaj Janmajaya. Now that Mahabharat is, let's see, should I mention it here or wait for a moment? Well, actually, no, I should. Okay, I'll wait till the next verse before making this point. Let's move on a little here. Okay, yeah, so we'll go on now to verse 13. And, this point I want to make is coming up here. So verse 13, I'll read again. After Janmajaya, the son of Parikshit, heard the wonderful Mahabharat recited by the great sage Jaimini, Janmajaya was still eager to hear more. And so he inquired about the supplement to that epic. So the thing is here, just actually it comes up more in regard to the next verse 14, but the only Mahabharat that is available now is the Mahabharat of Vyasadeva. But now here, this is a different Mahabharat. It's essentially, the same storyline, but it's significantly different from the Mahabharat of Vyasadeva. Unfortunately, that Jaimini Mahabharat, who knows how it happened, but as with many Vedic literatures, over the course of time, many of them have become lost, unfortunately. So it's so wonderful that Jaimini Mahabharat is so wonderful that after hearing it, he eagerly wanted to hear more. Is there a supplement? Is there something extra which takes us further, deeper into it? So here's now verse 14. Sri Janmajaya said, O Brahman, by hearing the Mahabharat from Vaishampayana, by Vyasadeva, I never obtained the same relish I have now obtained by hearing from you. Please complete this recitation with perfect sweetness. Now this is really interesting and important. This is the point I was referring to. Sorry. So Janmajaya has already at some other time heard Mahabharat of Vyasadeva. Because, in those days, that was what they did. In the evenings, they didn't watch television. or go out to the movies and all that sort of stuff. In the evening, particularly the Brahmins and Kshatriyas and also the Vaishyas, but particularly Brahmins and Kshatriyas, every evening they would just have an evening program, which would always include some serious reading from Shastra. So he had heard Vyasadeva's Mahabharata. Now the thing about Vyasadeva's Mahabharata is that even though it's the story of the Pandavas and Krishna's there and Bhagavad Gita's there, of course, even though it's like that, but you know, you may have seen in the beginning, in the first chapter, I think, of Srimad Bhagavatam, the fact is pointed out that the Mahabharata is more about politics and intrigues, historical. It's more sort of entertaining for people who are not so intelligent, actually. These types of things are said, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam should be presented because it's completely pure. But otherwise, Vyasadeva's Mahabharata, it's kind of, you know, on the material level, or closer to the material level, put it that way, than Srimad Bhagavatam, for sure. So similarly, back in those days, there were a number of Mahabharatas. There were a number. And whereas Vyasadeva, he describes his story, it's the story of the Pandavas more than the story of Krishna. Yeah. It's the story of the Pandavas. And Krishna, of course, Krishna's there, he's prominent, but he's not as prominent as the Pandavas, with all their problems and conflicts and all that. So Krishna acts subordinate to the Pandavas. He's like a friend, an advisor, and he doesn't show his supremacy so much. And the sweetness of his pastimes is not displayed so much. But Sanatan Goswami, you know, I guess through his transcendental vision and understanding, he knew that the Mahabharata of Jaimini was sweeter, was nicer than the Mahabharata of Vyasadeva. So therefore, the Jaimini Mahabharata, which unfortunately, as I said, doesn't exist any longer, that Mahabharata of Jaimini, it really is presenting Krishna very beautifully and presenting devotional service very clearly and with very nice explanations. So it's on a higher level in terms of Krishna consciousness and spiritual consciousness. So, therefore, at the end of it, Janmajaya, who's listening to Jaimini reciting it, he's just so inspired. And he says, please, tell me more. Tell me more. I want to hear more. Go on from the point that you finished. So, yeah. So, Sanatan Goswami, he's got that qualification, such elevated consciousness, that he's able to perceive these things even some thousands of years later. Yes. And in the verse, Janmajaya addresses Jaimini with the word Brahman or Brahman, which can mean, O Brahmana, you're a pure Brahman, but it can also mean a personification of Brahman, the Vedic sound, that Jaimini is so elevated, and his Krishna consciousness is such, he can present these things in such wonderful ways. So he's the personification of spirituality, of Brahman. And what he speaks is spiritual sound vibration. It's Brahman sound. Yes. Shabda Brahma. Shabda Brahma. Let's see here. So the king, Janmajaya, he's making a request. He's making a request. Please continue or complete this recitation with perfect sweetness. And it's an interesting little point, a sort of interesting detail, that the audience has the right to make requests of the speaker, particularly if the audience is devotees, and we already talked about how the book's for devotees. So just like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he had the practice at the end of practically every single class, he would ask for questions, and devotees would get the opportunity to ask, and they did. So because they have the right, even you could say, not only does the audience have the right, but they should ask questions, because it's deep subject matter. And you can't expect everyone to just take it all in just like that and understand that everything's fine. Therefore, the audience has the right to make requests in the form of questions or clarifications or maybe some repetition. Like at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks Arjuna, so you heard it? And you're okay now? You accept it? You understand? And Arjuna says yes. But Srila Prabhupada makes the point in one of the purports there that actually Krishna was ready. If Arjuna had said, oh, I didn't get it, you know, can you just help me further? If Arjuna had said something like that, Prabhupada says, Krishna was ready to go through the whole thing again, the entire thing from the beginning to the end again, to help Arjuna to understand. Because the speaker has a responsibility to effectively impart the understanding. Our classes are meant to be like that. Not just that some big scholar presents some esoteric information that he picked up, and all these really deep things and extraordinary things and difficult to understand things. And the audience, they have no rights. Their only right is to sit there and listen. But actually, it's very nice if the speaker can judge the audience and make the presentation in ways which are as relevant as possible, as far as he can see, to the audience in terms of their whatever level they're on. And yeah, so then he makes the request, you know, please expand on it, by, he uses the term Madhura. There's a saying, Madhurena Samapayet. One should end on a sweet note. I will try to this evening also, somehow. We'll see. But this, it's a common saying, Madhurena Samapayet. One should end one's presentation in a sweet way. It's common amongst writers and poets and connoisseurs of devotional poetry. Yeah. And here, of course, when he talks about sweet, what sort of sweet is he talking about? He is talking about rasa. Rasa. The very deep relationships between the Lord and his devotees in Vrindavan. Not just in Vaikuntha, but actually in Vrindavan. That is, for someone like him, that is sweet. Some ordinary talk about this or that, it's not sweet for someone like Janmajaya, a great devotee. So when he says, you know, basically, you must add something with sweetness, he's saying, you must give us some depth of rasa, the loving exchanges, the loving mellows of the loving exchanges of the devotees with the Lord in Vrindavan. So, yes. So, therefore, Janmajaya, his hearing from Jaimini, will conclude very nicely with rasa. Just as a good meal ends nicely with a dessert like Shrikant. And I'm very happy to say that for my lunch today, I had some Shrikant. I had some Shrikant for the first time for quite a while. Yes, so, and then the Shrikant this afternoon, was just amazing. I think it was made by, if I heard correctly, Mother Rukmini Priya from or ex Marlborough. Okay, so let's go on now. Verses 15, 16, and 17 have been put together. So let's read them. And say some words, and then I'll probably just conclude after that. Yeah, because otherwise we wouldn't finish the next subsection. We definitely wouldn't. So no problem. We have all the time in the world. Right, so 15, 16, 17. Sri Jaimini said, by hearing the instructions of Shukadev Goswami, Sriman Parikshit was relieved of all fear. All his ambitions satisfied, he was absorbed in pure love for Sri Krishna. Now, as the time came near for the king to ascend to the destination he desired, his mother, Virata's daughter, a surrendered devotee of Krishna, approached him in great distress while he was alone. After Parikshit had consoled and pleased her by his greetings, she asked of him as follows immersed in love for her son. So she asked him as follows, tune in tomorrow night to find out what she asked him. But anyway, let's say a few words about this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam. This is now Jaimini himself speaking. And he's recalling how Janmajaya's father, Maharaj Parikshit, heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami. And just at that moment, Parikshit was getting ready to leave this world, to give up his body. But as Jaimini says, that after hearing the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit was fearless. He was beyond fear, having heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Uttara approached him. Uttara approached him. Yes, Uttara. Uttara approached him. And Uttara approached him knowing that it was going to be the last time she was going to see him alive. And she is the mother, and practically all mothers, at least all decent mothers, they love their children very much. And she had been through a lot, Uttara, with Parikshit. If you're familiar with the Bhagavatam, first canto, I think chapter 8, is it end of chapter 8? Anyway, it's somewhere around there. It's mother, Uttara approaches Lord Krishna, and the Pandavas are there also. She approaches Lord Krishna and she's expecting a child. She approaches Lord Krishna and says, my Lord, there's an Ashvatthama, there is a Brahmastra, released by Ashvatthama, and it's coming my way. It looks like that it's either going to kill me or the child within my womb. So my Lord, please protect my child. And basically Lord Krishna does that. And the child is born a little later. But sure, that was a dramatic situation. That was such a dramatic situation. So Uttara, she's been through a lot with Maharaj Parikshit and because of Maharaj Parikshit. And now he's going to die. Just now. Very, very soon. He's actually going to die. So for a loving mother, to be in such a situation. Of course, when Uttara now saw Parikshit, there were so many feelings just coming up in her heart out of love. So, from what we can see though, even though she was distressed in that way, which is only natural for a mother, still her eagerness to hear the message which Parikshit had got from the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadev Goswami, her eagerness to hear, what was it? What did you hear? What did Shukadev Goswami tell you? That eagerness was stronger than her feelings of lamentation, distress, that, oh, my son is just going to die right now. So that's an interesting point. So, as the verse says, with a pacifying greeting and a brief philosophical reminder about the illusory nature of birth and death, Maharaj Parikshit quickly dispelled whatever motherly anxiety was there. Quickly dispelled it. Can you imagine? Your son's going to die, your child's going to die. But with some good instruction, the intense feelings of the mother of the child are just cleansed away. And she becomes just very happy to hear the message. So therefore, now she's joyful, fixed in affection for Lord Krishna and for her son, Parikshit, who's a great devotee. And, yeah, tomorrow night we'll read the second subsection, verse 18 to verse 23, where basically she appeals to him to tell her the essence of the wonderful teachings that he's heard. And so then he begins to recite Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So tune in, same time, same place, tomorrow night, and we will carry on with verses 18 to 23. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Kejai. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Kejai. Hare Krishna.